Hello and welcome to the Online Marketing Mastery Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a lot of great information that I'm going to share with you on the call. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on Facebook. And you can join us out in the Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. Go there now and post a message to say hello. Now, in a moment, we're going to get into our topic for today. We're going to be talking about social media techniques to book appointments. But first of all, I wanted to share a quick announcement. Coming up on the 15th of the month, October 15th, I'm going to be doing a free webinar on article marketing strategies to generate leads. So I'll be talking about how to write articles and use them as a way to attract clients online. Articles are a great way to position yourself as an expert. You can publish your articles online and attract people that way. You can also print your articles and hand them out at events as well. So the webinar will be on Wednesday, October 15th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And if you'd like to register, you can simply go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/article marketing. socialmediaoutcomes.com/article marketing. And I'm popping out onto the Facebook page. Susan says, hi, everyone. I'll be a few minutes late. Lori is here. Lori Whalian says, hi, Rick. Good afternoon. And Roy Rasmussen is here and says, hi, everyone. Excellent. Thanks for joining in today. And let's go ahead. Actually, before we get started, one more thing. You can access the audio recordings from the weekly calls out on the membership page. And, again, the link is out on the email that I sent out. And the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. There are 12 modules of content. And today the module we're covering is on social media techniques to book appointments. And I think this is a great strategy because anything that you can do to leverage social media and use it to monetize social media is going to benefit you. I just got off a call a few minutes ago with a client who is interested in using LinkedIn as a way to book appointments. And so we're talking about some different strategies to add value and communicate through LinkedIn. And you know, that's one thing to think as you're reaching out and making connections with people, don't just immediately jump in and try to book an appointment because you really haven't established enough value at that point to be able to make a connection. And to, you know, be worthy of coming in to schedule an appointment, whether it's, you know, to do a conference call or whether it's to go into somebody speak to their team. So you need to take some steps up front and to be able to establish value. We'll talk about some ways to do that as we go through the call today. The strategy in terms of approaching people is to send out private messages on Facebook. One of the reasons I like Facebook is people tend to check their Facebook messages pretty frequently. For one, because a lot of people that are connected on Facebook, not only from a business standpoint, but also a personal standpoint. And so, you know, Facebook messaging is more like the old style of chat that people are used to. Back in the days when people used AOL Messenger and Yahoo Messenger, there's still probably a lot of people who do that. But I can remember, you know, in the days of using that you would use it as just another means to kind of text message back and forth. And so I think Facebook is probably the best social media site for messaging people. Maybe LinkedIn number two, Twitter after that. You can do some messaging through other sites as well. But Facebook is particularly good at doing this and sending people messages. And I'll give you some tips here as well on what to send out and how much information to send and all of that as we go through the call. Dr. Ivan Meisner, who is founder of BNI and also a New York Times bestselling author, said, networking is not about hunting. It's about farming. It's about cultivating relationships. Don't engage in premature solicitation. You'll be a better networker if you remember that. So that's exactly what we're talking about here, is it's reaching out and making connections with people on an ongoing basis. Find ways to add value. See, most people just want to jump straight in and book the appointment. And what ends up happening is they end up driving people away. So by taking time to think strategically about how can I add value, what can I share, what questions can I ask, how can I create a dialogue back and forth, that's what helps to cultivate those relationships on social media and lead to the opportunity where you can book an appointment. And sometimes an opportunity just comes up. You know, sometimes people will just say, hey, let's chat, and then it's a matter of scheduling. But in other cases, it takes time to be able to develop that relationship and lead to the next step. Checking out in the Facebook group, looks like we've already got about 7 comments out there. Let's go ahead and set a comment goal for today's call of 35 comments. So our goal today is for 35 comments. So go ahead, this message is out there. You can share your takeaways of what you're learning as we go through the call. Now, another way to book appointments, and I particularly like this strategy, I use it a lot, but it's to use events. So you can use Facebook events as a way to book appointments. Now, this strategy is a little bit less effective than it used to be. It used to be I could send out invitations to people and I would get 20 to 30 people registering for an event, or at least indicating they were joining an event. And as time goes on now, that's down to, in some cases, less than 10. And, you know, so you might find that certain strategies are initially effective from you and then kind of lose your effectiveness over time. One of the reasons may be that I do a lot of events. And so I can't expect everybody to want to attend every single event that I do. But by doing a lot of events, it does give people an opportunity and also just keeps me out in front of them. And so a Facebook event is a way to get a reminder out there too. So if you're doing other types of marketing like email marketing and somebody misses it or they had intended to register, then oftentimes social media might be that last ditch effort, you know, where you can reach people about that event. Facebook, for instance, sends out a notification about an hour before an event. So if you're on Facebook, you get that notification. It's like, oh, sure for that. I want to register for that. I want to attend that one. And so it's another strategy that you can use that gets you out in front of your audience. So if you're not currently hosting events, then you might want to think about scheduling some events, get those on your calendar, and start marketing those as a way to get out in front of people. And then it's a matter of inviting people to events. So it's not enough just to create the event and have it sitting out there on Facebook. You actually have to invite people to it. And that's a process where you go to the event, you click to invite people, and then you have to look at your list of friends and select who you want to invite. You have to put a checkbox next to their name. This is a case where you'll find it beneficial if you've set up some friend lists. So I have lists of friends on Facebook that I set up that help me to identify who are the people that I want to contact regarding events. So if you don't do this, then you're going to have to go search through your entire list of friends, and you know, it creates a little uncertainty. You don't know whether to click to add somebody to an event or not to invite them. And if you keep inviting people to events that aren't really interested in them, that could create a negative reaction or a backlash to you over time. Now, people love events. And Michael Port, in his book, Book Solid, said, always have an event that you can invite people to. When you end an event, then make sure that you already have another event scheduled. I do events every single week. In fact, this week I'm doing 2 events. I have one tomorrow on how to create an information product, and then I have one on Thursday on 7 keys to grow your business online. So I usually do about 1 or 2 free events per week. So I always have something to invite people to. I always have something to share through email. And one of the reasons I do that is when I'm sending out email messages, I never know who's going to be ready to attend an event, who's going to open their email message that day. People might have been ignoring my emails and other emails for some time, but maybe today's the day they decide to open up an event or an email, and they see an invitation to an event and they want to attend. Same thing on social media. They may not be very active for a period of time, and then suddenly They're getting back into the swing of things, and now they're starting to pay attention. That's one of the things about marketing consistently over time. You can't worry about trying to overwhelm your audience with messages. Yes, you're going to overwhelm some people. You're going to have some people that will unsubscribe, and then the people who are left on your list are the ones who want to receive your messages. You just have to keep putting it out there. And how long does it take really to open up a message and decide whether you want to read it or not? You know, not that long. So it's not like you're causing an extreme hazard in somebody's life from trying, you know, sending too many messages. Just get the word out to let people know what's coming up and, you know, what you have going on, and the people who are interested in attending will go ahead and register. And at the very least, even if they don't register, it still is a marketing touch. It still gets that information out there. So as I mentioned a moment ago, one of the events I'm doing is on how to create an information product. And the reason that I'm doing that event is because I have a program that I'm going to be teaching coming up in a few months. It's called the Information Product Creation Workshop. So I start months before that program begins in getting the word out. So I'm sharing blog posts related to information products. I'm sending email messages and articles in my newsletter. I have messaging around information products. I'm sharing tweets that talk about information products because I want to start planting the seed. So you have to start way ahead of when you want to offer something. If you have something to sell and you want to sell it tomorrow and you start marketing it today, that's not far enough in advance. And this is especially true for anybody that does like training programs or anything like that. If you just have an evergreen product that you can sell over and over anytime you want, then, you know, you can just market that on a consistent basis over time, and you can expect to get good results from that. But if you have something where you have a time-sensitive offer, it's only available to a certain time, it could also be for a promotion that you have, then you have to make sure that you're getting out the word far enough in advance. And by the way, as I'm going through the content today, I'm going through the notes, and you can access those notes by checking your email, and that has a list of all of the comments and ideas that I'm sharing as I go through the call. Now, another way that you can schedule an appointment is by using an opt-in page. You can set up an opt-in page on your website, and then you could include details about scheduling an appointment. Have a person fill out the form, put their contact information in, and then that would initiate a process to schedule an appointment. That would also opt them into your website, and it could also send them to a success page where they have more details on how to schedule the appointment, and then also send an email autoresponder message out to them. In a moment, I'll also share about how you can use an online appointment scheduling system. That would be different than having an opt-in page. It's kind of like step one, opt-in, step two, schedule the appointment. You could also schedule a social media post or create a social media post and then share it out on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. In fact, one of my clients, Carol Smith, does this periodically, and one of the appointments she schedules is for a LinkedIn strategy session. Now, she does a pretty compressed strategy session. She'll do about 15 minutes where she'll talk to someone about their LinkedIn profile. Another type of appointment that you can do is a Google Hangout. Now, you can do a Google Hangout one-on-one. You could do a Google Hangout with less than 10 people, or you could live stream your Google Hangout to hundreds or thousands of people. So a Google Hangout is another tool that you can use for hosting an appointment. So you can do appointments one-on-one. You can also do appointments one-to-many. So think about all the different types of appointments that you can do. Now, by the way, so with a Google Hangout, you could, if you schedule that in advance, you could also use Google Plus as a way to get the word out about the appointment. So just like Facebook has Facebook events, Google Plus also allows you to create an event and invite people to it. I think this one is particularly good because With a Google event, it will also allow you to put something directly on somebody else's calendar. You can invite people to the event, and that shows up on their Google calendar. So that's pretty powerful to actually literally have that appointment set and put onto their calendar, because some people might look at it and say, oh, I forgot I was going to attend this. Well, they didn't actually register for it. It just is automatically put onto the Google site. Now, they still have an option of whether they want to accept it or remove it, but that's a pretty powerful technique to be able to put something directly on somebody else's calendar without them even having to do anything. Now, of course, you can use an online scheduling tool. I use a tool called TimeTrade. TimeTrade allows you to add your calendar in, and you can integrate it in with Google Calendar, and it gives a way for people to click on a link. So you could send an email and include a link and then encourage people to go out to TimeTrade and then pick a time to chat. And I'll give you an example of this. In fact, I just did this recently. You may have received an email from me earlier this week where I offered a pep talk. So I sent an email message to just my clients, people who have signed up for my programs in the past, programs or coaching or done-for-you services, and I sent out an email and I encouraged them to sign up for a pep talk. And so the purpose of the pep talk is to add value. I wanted to find a way that I could reconnect, have a conversation, and add value. And this idea, in fact, I've mentioned this before on other modules and probably the last time I hosted this call, but I look for inspiration in a lot of different ways to think of ways that I could schedule appointments. And so I'm always looking for what is a good way that I can use to schedule an appointment. And the way that this particular idea of the pep talk came to me is that I had a conversation with a client last week. We hadn't done anything together in about a year, and I hadn't heard much from them, and so I was reaching out, I was making calls. Then interesting here, the reason I was making the call was because I was following up with people who had opened email messages. So you want to think about ways that you can reach out to your audience on a consistent basis. So what I did was I exported a list of people who opened up a recent email. And I put that into a spreadsheet in Google Docs, and then I started making calls. And I didn't reference the fact that they opened up the email. I just reached out and I made a call to touch base. And as a result of that, I made some connections with people. I scheduled some appointments. And so that was one of the results, was that I scheduled an appointment with that person. And so we got onto the phone and we talked. And I found out that they had been going through some things recently with a family member who had an illness. And I wasn't aware of that. But by having this conversation, I learned about that. And I also learned that they kind of put their business on hold, but now they were starting to get it back into gear and back into action. I wouldn't have known that if I had not reached out to them. But what's interesting was that by having that conversation, I thought, well, you know, there's a value here and having a conversation like this with clients, because it really became a call around encouragement. And I thought to myself, you know, I could probably do this for some other clients. There are probably some other people who would like to chat. So this would give me a good opportunity to do it. So I wrote up an email, and I sent it out on Sunday. And I'm checking in TimeTrade right now, and I can see that I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 appointments that were booked from that email. So that's an idea that I had last week. This is a brand new idea. I came up with an email. I created an appointment in TimeTrade. I sent out the email, and I booked 7 appointments. That's a pretty good strategy, I would say. And it's a strategy that you can implement as well. I'm not specifically the pep talk, but just being inspired by having conversations with people and then thinking strategically about how you can have other similar conversations with people. I've created dozens of different types of appointments just because I've had an idea of something that came out, like, oh, I think this would be a good idea to do an appointment. And then I find a way to offer that. So there are all sorts of different ways to book those appointments. And today we're talking primarily about using social media as a way to book appointments. Now, I could use that strategy of the pep talk on social media, but I chose to limit that to more of my clients just because I didn't really have a specific offer to share at the end of the call. And generally, when I schedule an appointment, I have a specific idea of what I'm going to be offering. You know, if an opportunity came up and I had some opportunity to share something, then I might do that, or I might even follow up afterwards and offer something. But in this case, I just wanted to find a way to add value, and, you know, it's really more connecting with people emotionally. But it's a good idea when you're coming up with an idea for an appointment to figure out in advance, you know, what you're going to be offering during that appointment. Now, let me talk about some ways that you can start a conversation online that will lead to setting appointments. How do you start a conversation online that will lead to setting an appointment? I also want to pop out to the Facebook page real quick. We'll just do a quick check-in to see where we are. Looks like we have about 20 comments so far. Great job. I can see that Roy and Susan are posting. Lori is posting. And let me just do a quick check-in. I also see that Teresa Rippey is on the call. So, Teresa, if you want to join out in the group, let me do a quick post here. Hi, Teresa. Join us here. Okay. So, whoops, I think I misspelled join us, but you get the idea. So the strategy for starting a conversation is to mainly to send a private message. A private message is a great way to do that. When you send a private message, it gives you the opportunity to make a personal connection. Because if you're posting publicly out on somebody's page, that's probably not the best way to invite somebody to want to talk to you. But by taking the time to send somebody a private message, it opens the door to a conversation with them. But you kind of have to, you know, follow up and make sure that you are checking back as they're responding to you. And then what happens if they don't follow up? So, you know, messages can go back and forth, and then they can kind of stop. And, you know, nothing happens for a while. And then you could send out another message and try to start back up. You could also try to find some other means to follow up with them, like by email, and then eventually by phone call as well. But in general, after a period of time of reaching out and making contact with people, it might make sense to reach out and touch base and offer to schedule a time when you can chat. And what's interesting is I found sometimes that when I'm contacting people through social media that they're resistant to just clicking on a link and going out and booking an appointment. So what I've started doing is once I identify that they're open to scheduling a time to chat, then I might say something like, you know, are you available to chat next Tuesday at 2 p.m.? And then give them a specific date and time. And if they respond back and say, oh, that's not available, then I might respond back and say, well, here's another time. Or if you prefer, you can also click here to schedule an appointment with me online. Or I might say something like, I use an online service called TimeTrade to schedule appointments. Would you prefer to me to share a link where you can schedule an appointment, or would you like to give you a couple options here? So you might just ask them first before you post a link to go out and schedule an appointment. So just be aware that not everybody likes to use technology to schedule appointments. And in some cases, they might even want you to call them first and then offer to schedule the appointment. So different people have different communication styles. They have different preferences. So just be aware of that. Don't always just immediately jump to using technology as a way to book an appointment. Try to get a sense of what their preferred option is. Seth Godin said, conversations among the members of your marketplace happen whether you like it or not. Good marketing encourages the right sort of conversations. If you're creating the right sort of conversations, then you're getting people engaging and interacting, and that's opening the door for you to follow up. I post a lot of questions out on Facebook. And so as people are responding back to me, it provides a perfect opportunity for me to send out some private messages to people. So you want to be paying attention to who's responding and then periodically send them a private message on Facebook to connect. We've talked a lot about Facebook today. There are other social media sites that you can use to connect with people individually, and one of those is LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is great if you're trying to reach business owners and executives of companies and others. So think about how you can leverage LinkedIn. LinkedIn works very similarly to Facebook. Facebook, you can send private messages. You can do the same thing with LinkedIn. And one thing that's nice about LinkedIn is when you send that message to them, it will also go out to them as an email message. And so they'll get that email message, and then they can click and then reply back through LinkedIn as well. So that's another way that you can make a connection with them. And one of the things to think about is when you're reaching out to people for the first time, if you don't have any other form of engagement, then look for a way to add value. I think LinkedIn works very well if you want to send something to add value, like an article or a blog post or a list of tips or a video or something else. So think about how you can stay in front of people on a regular basis by sending out messages. Now, on LinkedIn, you can send a message one person at a time, or you can send out a message to a number of people. I prefer to send them out one person at a time, but they also give you the opportunity to send out a message of up to 200 people. So the challenge, of course, is, as always, how do you keep track of who you've sent a message out to and know who you still need to send a message to? One of the ways that you could keep track of who you need to contact through LinkedIn is to create a spreadsheet. You can export your contacts out of LinkedIn, and then you can import them into a spreadsheet. And then once you have them in a spreadsheet, then you could just work your list. You could sort it, but you know, I sort mine alphabetically. That makes it easy. If I want to go through my list, I can just scroll down alphabetically by first name, and I can find the person that I'm trying to reach. And so then I just reach out and I make contact with people one at a time based on first name. I can work that list. You probably have seen me post out on Facebook before, work your list. That's what I mean. It's working your list. It's making a list and then working systematically through the list. I have several thousand connections on LinkedIn. If I send out 10 messages a day to people on LinkedIn, then it's going to take me about 300 days to get through my whole list. That's just about an entire year if you think about it, if you went every business day. So this is going to be about a year to get through my entire list on LinkedIn. So you want to think about, you know, what you can do to systematically do things over time. And it's not just one message. You want to be following up over time. So you might even have to boost it even more and send out more messages or filter it. Maybe you're not contacting everybody. Maybe you want to identify who are the highest priority ones. Who do I want to be following up with on a regular basis? One of my friends makes a list of 25 contacts, and then they work that list of 25 over time. So think about who are the people that you want to be getting in front of on a consistent basis, and then start working that list over time. It's that consistency over time that will create awareness. It'll create interest. You're going to pique their interest, get them interested in wanting to follow up and have a conversation with you. If you're doing things that add value, then people are going to be intrigued. All right, I'm going to pop over to the Facebook group in a few minutes and read some of the messages there. But first, I want to share with you five questions to use when starting a conversation. So here's one question. What's new in your world? What's new in your world? I like to ask that periodically. That kind of gets people thinking, well, yeah, it's been a while since we had a chance to connect. Here's what's new. One of the things that's nice about that question is people love to share what's new. And especially business owners and others like to share what's new. So try that question out and see what kind of response that gets. That might not be the only thing that you say in the message, but that would be the question at the end of the message that would spark someone to want to follow up with you. Another question is, how can I best help you? How can I best help you? That's a good open-ended question, and it also gauges people's interest in wanting to talk with you and connect with you. The people who don't want to talk with you will probably say something like, I'm not interested in, you know, getting any help at this time. And that just helps you to filter into who is an interested prospect, who might want to chat with you and learn more. And in some cases, people might share some surprising answers. They might have a sense of what you do and might have a desire to learn something from you. Another great question is, who makes a good referral partner for you? That's a great question to get people thinking about who is it that they work with? Who would they like to be talking to? Who is a power partner? That's another good question. Who's a good power partner for you? Some people are familiar with that term. Power partners are typically referral partners. They're people who they're POIs, or a person of influence, who would be in contact with people who are your ideal customers or clients. Another question is, actually, let me save the last two questions. I'll come back to that in just a moment here. Let me go out to the Facebook page now and read some comments. So I'll kind of leave you on the hook for the moment. Okay, let's see. Roy Rasmussen shared a link out to the article marketing webinar that's coming up on October 15th. And one other thing I'll mention about that is I'm doing an article marketing contest right now. So if you would like to learn how to write articles, if you would like to get into action on participating in writing articles, you can participate in the article marketing writing contest. And to do that, you can go out to socialmediaoutcomes.com/article contest. And I'll just share a link out in the group there. Perfect. So you can go check that out. Roy said, today's module, social media techniques to book appointments. Lori said, establish value to make a connection and be worthy of booking appointments. Yeah, absolutely. In the conversation that I was having with a client earlier today, they're feeling like they're not doing enough in the conversation up front to be worthy of the appointment. Part of it's a mindset, but part of it is, what are the things that you can do over time to reach out and add value to them? Could you send something in the mail? Could you send something to them by email? So the fewer methods of contact you have with them, the less opportunities you have to create value. If all you have is a phone number, then you have to rely on reaching out and touching base and sharing ideas and, you know, offering an opportunity to schedule an appointment over time. So think of how you can be creative with what you have. Roy said, you can think of Facebook's message feature as an analogy with chat messaging as a communication tool. Absolutely. Tools like Skype, AOL Messenger, Yahoo Messenger. Roy said, social media networking is best pursued organically. Definitely. You want to reach out and make those connections over time. You know, when you see an opportunity, jump in and send somebody a message and develop those relationships. It goes back to the Dr. Ivan Meisner quote about farming versus hunting. And, in fact, Lori repeats that networking is not about hunting. It's about establishing relationships. And that's not to say that you shouldn't do any hunting. It's just that it's not just like it's not a one kill. In other words, like a one call close. In some cases it may be, but in other cases it's about establishing that relationship over time. Someone once told me, in fact, there's probably a quote out there around this. It's something like, you want to make strangers acquaintances. You want to make acquaintances friends, and so on and so forth. And it's in the process of that that you gain clients. And, you know, so oftentimes if you're friends with clients, then it helps to develop the relationship further. Now, you know, some people don't like to be friends with clients. They like to have kind of a clear definition between, you know, people that are a customer or client versus others. But in general, when you're friends with people, when you've developed a relationship with people, it opens the door to a greater level of trust. See, when you step into somebody's inner circle, then you're in a much more powerful relationship. It's a relationship of influence. In fact, there's a great book called The Trusted Advisor by David Maister. In fact, I'll have to see if I've got that book on my shelf. I know I purchased that book. Trying to track it down is a little bit more difficult, but I will make a note here to look for the book myself. Maybe I will post an image of that book out on Facebook later if I can find it. But The Trusted Advisor by David Maister. And it's a great book for consultants, people who are doing consulting with organizations, because it's all about how do you develop that relationship of trust where people want to come to you over time, where they don't see you as a sales professional, they see you as part of their inner circle. That can be very powerful. Roy said, some marketing strategies get hot for a while and then cool off. Yeah, it's good to have a good rotation of different strategies. I mean, it's possible to burn out on a strategy over time. If your only strategy is cold calling and you do cold calling all the time, you're probably going to burn out on that after a while. So, for instance, with events, if I, pull back over a period of time and have, a time where I'm not doing so many events, then when I do pick up the pace again, then it creates more interest because then it feels like it's become more scarce. And it's like, oh, when's Rick going to do another event? And then I start getting, emails from people or calls. Hey, when are you going to do another training on Facebook? And then it's like, okay, it's that time again. And then we start to bring it back out. So, you can vary your approach and try out different techniques over time in your sales and marketing. Susan says, are you saying Facebook automatically sends the event reminder an hour before, or do you have to manually send it? Yeah, that happens automatically. If you've invited somebody to the event, then it sends out that reminder in advance. And I think it's true for anybody you invited to the event, not just people who've clicked that they joined an event. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it shows up for everybody. And you know what? In another example of something Facebook has changed over the years, it used to be that you could actually go in and send people a private message through the event as a reminder, but they took that function away. That's not to say that you can't go in one by one and reach out to people and send messages to them, like pull up their page and do that. And I do that. I'll do that with clients at times. I'll do that on some of my calls. I'll go through and just send them a reminder via private message and say, hey, here's a quick reminder about the webinar that's coming up. So that's a possibility as well. Just be careful about including links in those email messages. If you're doing a lot of messages where you're private messages where you're doing the same thing over and over, Facebook might flag your messages as spam, and they might block you from being able to send out private messages for a period of time. So you really have to be careful about doing repetitive strategies on Facebook. They're probably the worst in terms of blocking or suspending your account for different activities. Roy said, friend list management is an important part of social media marketing. Yeah, especially true on Facebook and also on Twitter, is that you're going to benefit from creating different lists, and you can use those lists as a way to filter people and to be able to prospect or market to them. Susan said, always have an event that you can invite people to. Absolutely. And even if the event is not coming up for a while, maybe your event is 90 days out, and so you have a longer ramp-up period to be able to reach out to people and make contact with them. That could be a possibility. Lori said, people love events. Always have an event to invite people to. Susan said, Rick, would you please repeat what you were saying about Facebook events? What you described about checking people on your friends list, that's the only way I've ever done it. Is there another way to schedule an event and invite people to it? Well, the distinction there that I was making was that when you go in to click and invite people to events, you can just search by people one at a time, or you can filter your friends based on a specific list. There's a way for you to click off of the drop-down menu and pull up any one of your friend lists. And what used to happen, this is actually a case where Facebook actually improved the process rather than made it worse. They only access five of your lists. And so I ended up having to number my list, like 1 through 10, and then I could, they would be in a specific order that would show up in the friend list. But now you can actually go in and view all of your lists. So what I do is I filter that list. And then once I filtered that list, then I can go in and I can check, invite the people that I want to the event, and then click submit. So, for instance, I have one list that's called social media outcomes. They're people who have liked my Facebook page. And I haven't gone through and done that for everybody who's liked my Facebook page, but I have it for a number of people. I have another one for entrepreneurs. I have another one for network marketers. I have another one for speakers and coaches. So I can filter that list. And then I can just invite people to my event on one of those lists. that's a time saver because you can know that everybody on that list is somebody that you might want to invite to an event versus having to go through your list of people one by one and just like selecting everybody. And this is more important than ever because Facebook now restricts you to be able to invite only 500 people. It used to be you could invite all of your friends. And I did have like a couple of events where I invited all 4,000 of my friends. And then I got a nasty gram from Facebook saying, you can no longer invite people to your events. We've suspended your account and because you have too many people that you invited that did not attend your events. And now Facebook has just gotten around it by putting a physical limit of 500 invitations to help solve the problem. Roy said, funnel invitations toward an event registration or appointment scheduling form. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to put an invitation out there on email or social media, then drive to some kind of electronic process where they can go and opt in, with the exception that if you're doing a private message that you would want to find out what might be a preferred method for selecting an appointment. Try to ask it in the form of a question rather than just saying, here's my link, go schedule an appointment with me. Some people find that impersonal. Susan says Google Hangouts can be used for appointments. Use Google Plus to get the word out about your upcoming Hangout. If you have the Hangout scheduled as an event, Google Plus adds it right to their calendar. Yep, absolutely. Roy said you can integrate appointment scheduling tools such as TimeTrade with calendar software like Google Calendar. Definitely. You can leverage technology in ways that help save you time and effort. And just to talk about that strategy for a moment there, one of the things I like about TimeTrade is that when I go in to schedule an appointment, I can set exact times that I want to make appointments available for a specific appointment. Like, for instance, with a pep talk, if I wanted to add some additional times, maybe in the evenings or early morning, I could do that. And I could do that without having it affect other appointments. Or if you want to have the appointments available for a fixed period of time, you can limit how many weeks that it's available or just to a specific number of appointments. You've got absolute flexibility in terms of being able to set that up. All right, let me go back and finish off the five questions I started sharing earlier. I shared the first three, so let me share the last two for you. One of the questions I like to ask is, do you have any upcoming events? The reason I ask that is I will often share other people's events. And so I have a list of people. You could call them joint venture partners, or you could call them social media or other partners or others that I reach out to periodically and ask them if they have any upcoming events. And if they shared one, then I'll usually just go out and post it right then and share it out on my page. It's a way for me to add value. It's a way for me to build social currency. And oftentimes people will follow up and they'll ask to reciprocate, like, how can I help you? So it's a proactive strategy which opens the door for, you know, future benefit for you. Another question, the fifth question, is what is one of your most important goals right now? That's an interesting question. That wouldn't always be appropriate in every case to ask people. It might be a great question to ask after you've had a series of messages back and forth. What is one of your most important goals right now? And again, it's also a great question, for instance, if you're a coach or a trainer or a speaker or consultant, you know, finding out what people are working on. But it could also work for others as well. It could be work if you're in network marketing and you have a nutritional product. You could say, what is your most important health goal right now? And get them talking about their health. Let's see. Quick check. We've got about 15 minutes left on the call. Let me go back to Facebook and then I'll share a few more ideas. All right. Let's see. Susan said you can have an impromptu appointment by just calling your clients to reconnect with them. Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. And that happens a lot of times when you reach out and call your existing client base or even prospects. Oftentimes, they might have a moment to chat real quick. And so it's not an opportunity for a full appointment, but it might be opportunity to gauge their interest level or to find out, you know, what challenges or struggles that they have. And that could actually help to direct your sales and marketing efforts going forward. So I'm always looking for, you know, what are people working on? What are they interested in doing? Are they interested in creating an information product? Are they interested in building a website? Are they interested in creating a lead capture page? Oftentimes I'll find out what they're currently working on. Sometimes I'll reach out to people and they're working on launching a website. And I think to myself, well, bummer, I could have been doing that for them. But also then I look and say, well, is there something else that I could help them with? I'm talking to someone right now who launched a new website recently, and they have a sales page on it, but it's not performing as well as they want. And so I offered to rewrite the copy on the sales page to make it more effective and also work on some strategies to drive more traffic to that sales page. So be open to what opportunities that you find. Roy said, create offers you can use to schedule appointments. Yeah, I start with the offer and I think about, okay, what do I have to offer? And then, well, what appointment can I book? So for instance, I'm planning later on this week to send out an email to offer to schedule a free information product strategy session. So I've got to write that email up and then schedule it and send it out. And that will probably generate a number of different appointments with people who are interested in talking about information products. So I start with the offer. The offer is I'm going to be offering my information product creation workshop. So I'm creating I'm creating the funnel. I'm creating the opportunity to have a conversation around it. I'm piquing their interest. I'm getting them to think creatively. And at the end of the appointment, then I'll share details about the workshop. And it might be that they're interested right then, or it might be that they want to attend, you know, get some more training around it, which is why I'll have more trainings coming up in the months leading up to it. But think about what offers you have. What offer do you want to make on an appointment? And then what can you do to lead up to that? What appointments can you create that will create interest around that topic or that theme? Roy says you can leverage LinkedIn similar to the way you can send messages on Facebook. Absolutely. And, you know, again, I like the fact that, you know, when you send that LinkedIn message, it goes out to their email too. And Facebook messages will do something similar, although people can turn that off. And so a lot of people have that capability turned off, so they will only really see your messages through Facebook. People seem to be far more concerned about privacy issues on Facebook than they do on LinkedIn. Susan says you can send private messages easily on Google Plus too. Interesting. I haven't done much private messages through Google Plus. I thought on Google Plus you could only use it to send email messages. I didn't realize that there was a separate messaging capability on Google Plus. I need to do another. I need to schedule another free training on Google Plus so I can. So that will encourage me to beef up my Google Plus skills. Roy says. While we're talking about different methods of chat, you could also use Skype to prospect people if you wanted to build up your list of Skype people that you're connected to. You could start doing that and using that as a messaging tool. By the way, you could also use text messaging. You could send people text messages and use that as an opportunity to book appointments. Any method that you have to reach out and communicate with people could be a communication tool that you can use to book appointments. You just have to think through the process. And oftentimes, especially like text messaging, it's not about like sending them a time trade link. It's really about, and also you've got really short messages, so you really have to kind of think creatively, what kind of message can I send that will add value and where I can ultimately lead to scheduling an appointment. So you'd want to really think strategically through how to do that. Or I said, use a spreadsheet to export your social media contact lists and manage your contact scheduling. Yeah, manage that, you know, you got to manage that process. When you set that spreadsheet up, that spreadsheet is not going to work itself. You've got to work that list. You have to, in fact, Roy said, Rick's making a list and checking it twice. Absolutely. Yeah, I love working my way through lists. I'm a list maker, and so by nature, when I create a list like that, I want to just keep going through and working it. Susan said, if you have your contacts and prospects in a CRM, You could also make a note that there when you message them on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, or Twitter. Yeah, absolutely. There's a value in maintaining an overall history across different communication channels. That's one of the benefits of having a CRM is it's integrating that information in there together. Teresa said, hi, everyone. I made it. Yes, Rick's making a list and checking it twice. Absolutely. Roy said, conversation starters for social media. What's new in your world? Yeah, that, and when I read that just then, I was thinking you could also say, it's just a little joke, let me rock your world or something like that. I'm not suggesting you do that, but that just popped into my head when I read that. But you can use a little humor from, you know, at times. Not everybody may get it, but, you know, there might be times when a little humor would be appropriate. All right, let me share a few more ideas here. Looks like we've got about got a couple more minutes before we wrap up. So when is it the appropriate time to ask for an appointment? I think that's one of the big questions. When is the appropriate time? So I think that's a question you have to ask yourself. How soon after you develop a relationship do you schedule an appointment? It might be a good idea to set up some kind of a tickler mechanism knowing when that point is. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you want to reach out and ask for an appointment after 90 days. So then you have to ask yourself, well, how many points of contact do I want to have prior to that before I ask for the appointment? Maybe it's 7. So we have 7 points of contact over 90 days and then ask for the appointment. What do those points of contact need to be? What kind of messages are those? How do you keep track of that? Well, that's about coming up with a system. That's having a system that you can work. And you'd want to know when those 90 days come up and when you need to be scheduling that appointment and then know when you need to make those touches over time. And so more than likely what would happen is that you would just keep track, like the way I would probably do it in a spreadsheet if I were going to try to do 7 touches in an appointment. I would have a row for each one of the contacts, and then across the top I would have a column for each one of those contact points. And then each time I made a contact point with them, I would enter the date into that column. And then I would just keep working across the list, and I would, you know, work my way all the way down the list. And I'd like to do it systematically where I can kind of go through and do all the touches, all the, you know, contact 1 touches and all the contact 2 touches. So much what you might want to think about doing is how can I break that down into smaller lists, like a list of 25. If you have a list of 25, it's probably going to be a lot easier to do those follow-ups over time. And you would know that you are working each one of those 25 contacts through over a 90-day period. So think of how you can develop those systems and then systematically make those points of contact with people over time. And then what are those points of contact? And maybe those points of contact are across multiple methods. I mean, that starts to get a little bit more complicated, but maybe one of those touches is through Facebook and another one's through LinkedIn. Another one is through email. What happens if you don't have somebody's email? How do you deal with that? So it's up to you to come up with the system that you want to implement and how to do that. How do you follow up with your existing customers? It's a good idea to reach out and touch base with your past customers and your existing customers from time to time. Be proactive. Oftentimes, people have an intention to contact you. And I have that happen a lot of times. When I reach out to somebody, they say something like, oh, I was planning on contacting you this week. So because I was proactive and I had a strategy to reach out to them, I reached them before they reached me. That increases customer satisfaction. How do you send messages on LinkedIn? Well, the simplest way is just to go to somebody's record and click on the connect button or click on the message button, and then it takes you to a window where you can send a message. Again, on LinkedIn, you can also use templates. So you can have a template message, copy and paste into LinkedIn, and then send the message. You can also customize that message further if you want. All right, let me go back out to the Facebook page. We'll see how we did on our goal. Wow, we're at 46. Great job. Our goal today was 35, so you exceeded it by 11. We've got a couple minutes left. Let me just read a few last comments here. Susan said, funny. While cleaning up my desk over the weekend, I just came across these 5 questions from the last time we had this discussion. Awesome. Good. I like to hear that. That's good timing. Lori said, hello, Teresa. Glad you made it. Or glad to meet you. And Teresa responded back. Roy shared the link out to the Trusted Advisor from David Maester, so thanks. There you go. Lori said, thank you, Roy. Teresa said, the Trusted Advisor sounds like a good book to read. I'll have to check it out. Roy said, do you have any upcoming events? That's another one of the questions. And then he said, what is one of your most important goals right now? Lori said, thank you, Rick Cooper, for the great content. You're welcome. And Susan said, on Google Plus, private messaging is not a separate function. You just create a post and then choose to share it only with a specific person. Interesting. So it's actually posting it to your Google page, but only sharing it with one person. Very cool. Good to know. All right. I'm at the end of the messages. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up our call today. So what I want you to think about is what is one specific strategy that you can implement that will allow you to book appointments on social media? What can you do to implement that consistently over time? Think about setting up systems. I talked about some systems for using spreadsheets today. All you have to do is just come up with one system. Maybe you like that idea of creating a spreadsheet with 25 people. What's nice is you could even just do one tab for each 25, group of 25. And then you've got just multiple tabs in your spreadsheet. And then you go work your list. Maybe you do 5 lists or 5 tabs. And each day of the week, you work one of those lists and you make those 25 touches with people. Come up with a system that you can repeat and duplicate over time. But in general, the most effective prospecting is where you're reaching out and you're having multiple touch points with people over time. Whether it's once a week or every other week or something else like that, but it's having different touch points where you're reaching out and making contact with him. But see if you can set it up as a system where you can systematically reach out and make contact with people. That also means getting clear about what your message is. What is it that you're sharing? What are you asking them to do? What questions are you asking? Are you sharing events or are you sharing a video or other ways to add value? Are you sharing blog posts? So you need a system. On that note, let's go ahead and wrap up the call. Thanks for joining me so much. I hope you got a lot of great value on today's call, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.